All right, here we go. Welcome to Making the Future. I am Pat.
What's up, guys? I am Joel.
And he returns, and he returns. Dude, I don't know, man. I'm going to be honest. I was kind of getting used to having new faces on with me, Joel. I mean, you know, not that you're not, you know.
I don't blame you. I do not blame you one bit, but unfortunately, guys, I'm back.
Yeah, there we go. All right, so it's Friday morning, guys, November the 4th, 2022. We wanted to dive in a little bit this morning. Something I'm not seeing a heck of a lot or hearing a heck of a lot of, and I've only done a couple of, you know, quick searches in alternative. I'm sure there is more out there than what I saw. Mainstream, you're finding a bit here and there on it, but Brazil's election situation down there. We had Jair Bolsonaro. They just kind of removed or whatever from the presidency, and he'll be replaced by Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva. So da Silva, this will be his third term as president of Brazil. He was back in 2003 to 2010. He served, did some time in prison for corruption charges. He's now 77 years old, and he'll go in for his third term. Now, what's interesting on this one, Joel, is how close this mirrors the 2020 selection process here in the United States with Trump and Biden. You know, right down to even just the age, although Bolsonaro being a bit younger, I don't know his actual age. I didn't look that one up, which is interesting.
Yeah,
I probably just should have. I think he's in his 60s, but I could be wrong there. So,
but and it's funny too, because Bolsonaro's nickname is actually the Trump of the tropics.
I like that, though. It's funny,
when you watch these things play out, it's like it's the same exact thing. You know, you took all of the things that Trump said, the nationalist, to make America great again, all of this stuff. Pat and I were talking about this before we came on, and it was the same thing with Bolsonaro, with alleged food shortages around the world, and Bolsonaro was going to, he was gonna feed Brazilians first, and he was gonna make, you know, I guess make Brazil great again, I guess, and he probably used other terms, but we see the same exact thing. We see the left propaganda that, you know, he's a far right extremist, and he's killing the rainforest. He's using all these pesticides. It's no good, you know. You know, when you start seeing things, when you can actually find something on it, you got to go back a ways. But when you start seeing, you know, the United Nations and the International Bank and all of these places and their reports, you know, you get a pretty solid foundation right there for what they're trying to do. And it's the same exact thing, you know. And I understand fully that Bolsonaro is just, in some shape or form, he's part of the plan, and it's the same thing. It's order out of crises. It's a division of the people, which is very apparent when you look at the people down in Brazil. And I know, Pat, you've talked to a couple people, locals. I know down in Florida there were a lot of Bolsonaro bumper stickers. So, which leads me to believe
they're everywhere. They're everywhere here. You know, I mean, pretty much, I won't say I know a lot of people from Brazil, but I know quite a few. I work with some guys, and, you know, there's not a one that doesn't love the guy. You see it when you're driving around, you see Bolsonaro 2022 all over the place. You know, just yesterday, actually, I was talking to a guy, and he showed me a video, and I don't know the guy from a hole in the wall guy. So it wasn't like I was like, hey, send me this link. I couldn't see where it was. It was in Portuguese, but you know, basically it's one of the crowds, a lot of protesting going on there. There's a lot of road blockades happening, or were happening. They say, they say they're starting to die down now. I don't know that I believe that or not. But basically it was a crowd of people protesting and just out of nowhere comes the car driving through the crowd, taking out a whole shit ton of people. I'm sure, you know, some of you guys out there will be able to find that. If you can, guys, send the link over to us, wakingthefutureofprotonmail.com. We'd appreciate it. But the nationalism thing, Joel, you mentioned is the interesting thing. So, you know, I mean, and here's the thing, guys, you know, us in politics, this isn't something we typically talk about, but I feel this is pretty warranted only because, so when you look here at the 2020 debacle, whatever selection process, you got the nationalist versus the communist, whatever you want to call it, right? Whatever ist you want to put in there. And basically, you know, Trump, whatever you want to say, he did talk America first, et cetera, right? Whatever. I even hate fucking saying that shit, but that's what it was set up as, right? That's what they were showing it as. And Biden, obviously, America last, blah, blah, blah. Well, Bolsonaro was the same thing, or is the same thing. You know, it's Brazil first. And when you look at Brazil, Brazil's GDP, I believe, is something in the range of like 53% agriculture, Joel. They are huge agriculture, and you know, their exports, you know, basically Bolsonaro, and this is just some information I get from people that I know, guys, he was looking to basically feed Brazil first, given the situation that's going on with everything. You know, there being, you know, fertilizer being hard to get your hands on, you know, and all the rest of the things that go along with it. He wanted to feed Brazil first. Well, Lula, this new guy, is going to continue business as usual, and in fact, probably ramp up the exports and everything else. And, you know, the United States, I believe that's like number six or seven on the list of you know, countries that we import foods from. We do get a lot of foods. We get a lot of raw materials. We get a lot of products from Brazil. Brazil's a gigantic, I believe they are the largest economy in South America, Joel. So, you know, a giant country with a lot of production from agriculture and the rest going on there. So, you know, you get this new guy, Lula, comes in, and obviously, you know, he's going to be controlled by the very same people that control all the rest of these politicians in the World Economic Forum, etc. So what happened is all these protests break out, right? All these trucks are blocking roads, everything else. And I know somebody down there right now that was potentially not going to be able to make it home. I haven't heard any word back yet, whether he'll make it back home or not this weekend. But that's the plan, is he's coming home this weekend. And, you know, he's not sure, you know, I don't even know if I'll be able to get to the city, etc. So, I don't know what that situation is going to turn into, but I'm curious to find out. But now they're saying all these things are dying down. You know, there's talks they want military involvement, while there's a lot of I kind of recall something like this playing out a few years ago, you know.
It's funny, too, because Bolsonaro is playing, you know, he's playing his part. And just like, you know, we had the January 6th episode.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got to wait for their January 6th to happen.
There was something happening on January 6th. So over in Brazil, it seems that they had the blockades, and, you know, just like Mr. Donald took a step back for a little while, so did Bolsonaro. But now he came on and said, you know, you gotta stop, and you gotta open the roads, and you gotta, you know, stop protesting. You're the people, and you don't get to make any calls. You don't get to voice your opinions. That's not what we do here. And you know, Bolsonaro, who's a little bit younger, I just found it, he's 67. But now, you know, as soon as Bolsonaro loses, Biden pipes right up. I can't wait to improve our relations with Brazil. back in the beginning of the summer, I remember at the G20 summit, Bolsonaro was complaining that since Biden took office, he was constantly snubbed by the G20 and especially Biden.
Right.
And, you know, I think that paints a picture of, you know, what we've seen and what we're going to continue to see, what most of us listening know, what we're going to see. You know, the food shortages, Brazil's economy. I do know that when I was down in Florida, I got to talk to a couple of locals, and Apparently Walmart is their major food source for them down there, especially in the city. And he was saying if you don't get to Walmart before 6 a.m., apparently these places are open 24 hours.
Yeah. Florida's crazy like that, man.
He's like,
you wake up at 2 in the morning, just go to Walmart.
You're not getting any meat. And, you know, the other thing that I found is the inflation is killing them in Florida. You know, we hear all this talk in the United States about the right wing in these great states of Florida and Texas. And I don't know anything about Texas, but I do know that the two locals that I met, one of them, him and his wife, had to, they both had to get second jobs in the last year and a half. And, you know, that's all by design, destroy the family unit, get, you know, just.
Well, the inflation, the inflation thing, that doesn't matter if it's a red state or a blue state, part of that whole paradigm, you know, that's something everybody's experiencing. And as far as, you know, second jobs, dude, that's what I'm doing, man. I'm working. Yeah. I'm trying to work 7 days a week these days because I know, you know, right now things are still okay for me. You know, and I'm sure you guys out there watching right now are in the same boat. I mean, you're picking up as many extra hours as you possibly can. The suck part about living in a slave system that we live in is, you know, if we're going to exist in this system in any way, shape, or form, we have to get out and do what it is we have to do in order to provide for ourselves and our loved ones, right? So, you know, for me, I'm a worker. That's what I do. You know, you're the same thing, Joel. I mean, you guys watching. So, you know, that's what we do. But I want to get back over to this thing in Brazil. So one of the interesting things on this, Joel, is this, right? So we kind of find some of the comparisons between 2020 and 2022 Brazil now, right? So, where was it here? I have an article here from, I think it's like Manila or something or other. I'll put it in the show notes, obviously, guys. So the pro-Bolsonaro roadblocks had threatened to create havoc in Latin America's biggest economy. Officials said there were 32 road barricades by Thursday afternoon, down from 250 Tuesday after Bolsonaro issued an appeal to unblock the roads to avoid interfering with people's right to move freely. But although the ex-army captain has vowed to respect the Constitution, he has not acknowledged Lula's win or congratulated him. Bolsonaro also encouraged legitimate demonstrations in a video he posted online Wednesday night, raising fears Brazil may still face turbulent times until Lula is sworn in and beyond. You know, so again, a lot of, you know, connections between the two and things that are being said. Wording is big on these, you know, and you have to wonder, will anything actually happen? Probably not, other than, you know, come January, they may try to do some sort of a, you know, false flag style thing like they did here to kind of keep the people looking over here while, you know, this new guy steps into office and does his thing and works on the world stage. You know, the exports, Joel, is what I wanted to kind of talk a little bit about quickly here is, you know, Brazil exports a lot to the United States and the United Kingdom and Europe. All right. And when you look, right, those two places right now are about to start dealing with some serious issues when it comes to their food imports. And if we have a country like Brazil that we're very reliant upon, and now for the United States, I believe it's like 8 or 9 on the list that I had found, you know, for countries that we import from. But, you know, nonetheless, a lot of products being imported. And when they say under Bolsonaro, we're not going to do this, we're going to take care of ourselves first. Well, the G20 starts to push back, push them away, push them away, push them away. And now they say, well, you know, we need to talk with Mr. Schwab or whoever it is at the World Economic Forum. We need to get this taken care of. So in comes Lula. You know, he's released from prison a few years back after serving some time for corruption and all the rest. Well, we'll get him in there come hell or high water. And, you know, they're going to talk they're going to go through all the same talks, Joel. They're going to talk about the election fraud and all the voter fraud and all the rest of the same things that have kept the Americans distracted and pissed off at each other for the past few years. And that will continue right through this midterm debacle that we're going through right now as well, because the people are just incapable of understanding that it does not matter which way you cast your vote. It doesn't matter. Whoever is chosen to be put into an office is the one that's chosen. If voting made, you know, voting mattered, well, they would make sure that it's illegal, right? I mean, this is just the way it works. So Brazil's dealing with the same thing. You know, they got these conservatives. They say that they're going to have the House or the Senate, whatever it is that in Brazil. So it'll be an uphill battle for Lula, the whole nine. I mean, they set it up the same. It's crazy how they don't change any of these things. And it'll be an interesting winter,
I think. Yeah, it's funny. It's the same exact thing. Bolsonaro, you know, accuses people of false information, fake news. Mm-hmm. And
Of course.
You know, it's in a lot of these countries, Bolsonaro was, he said it, you know, I just read a quote from him that he was not happy when Biden took office. And he actually said, he goes, at first he wasn't going to go to the G20 summit. He said, yeah, I'm not going to go there for a photo op. He goes, I'm constantly snubbed. So there we see it, the division.
Yeah.
You know, it's just right there. It's two wings of the same bird. We got our professional wrestling going on. And, it's going to be interesting how they use it in the future. We know that we never can really predict when or what they're going to do. Yeah. You know, when we had the back probably a year ago when we were seeing all the and that's another thing. Whatever happened to all of the container ships off the coast of California, right? That was just a story to keep people distracted. And it worked for Pat and I. But we thought that it was going to be shortages, right? Yeah. We thought we were going to see shortages. We thought that was going to, but no, they use that as an excuse for their inflation, right? Because it's not the amount of money you printed in a fiat bogus system. No, it's container ships and
well, it's everything. It's everything all wrapped in one, you know.
Yeah.
The last thing I wanted to read to show the direct connections between the two countries and this whole selection process they have going on is this one here. So from the same article from Manila, the protesters have meanwhile come under fire for their extreme measures and views in some cases. Authorities in southern state of Santa Catarina opened an investigation after one group of hundreds of pro-Bolsonaro demonstrators were filmed making what appeared to be Nazi salutes Wednesday. Prosecutors, in a statement, they had not found evidence, but the protesters intended the gesture as a defense of Nazism, a crime in Brazil. In several states, organized football fan clubs broke up the roadblocks so they could get to their team's away games, winning plaudits on social media from Brazilians exasperated by the blockades. The, again, you know, here's like three or four examples of the exact same tactics being used. And when you read the words of it, you know, appeared to be Nazi salutes. They're probably just screaming with their hands up, you know, and doing what they're doing, which is trying to find some way to get their voices heard. Look at you, Joel. You couldn't even charge your laptop today. Goodness gracious, man. You know, you've been gone for over a week and you couldn't keep your laptop charged. My God, man. You are such a slacker.
It was plugged the whole time. The whole time I was gone, I came home and it was freaking plugged in.
But, you know, that's what they're doing with this is you know, these people, they're grasping at whatever it is that they can grasp at. They viewed Bolsonaro as somebody that was a net positive for the country, which in many ways obviously was, specifically if he's a guy that wants to take care of the country first. I mean, I view it like this, you know, if politics are something that we can't get rid of overnight, right? We can't get rid of government. We can't do these things, right? We have to find whatever net positives we can out of it, right? So if at least you've got a guy that wants to take care of his country first, right? Take care of number one, take care of us. And, you know, again, I don't support politicians. I can't stand them. They're all the trash of the world. But in this case, if this is what the masses of people are looking at and saying, well, he's at least going to take care of Brazil first, or he's at least going to take care of Canada or the United States or insert your country here. That's what the people are grasping at, because the desperation is so strong right now. Everybody is being beaten down. And all of you guys watching right now, I know you guys feel that, because we're all dealing with this stuff, right? So that's what's happening. And now they go, they got to throw in the Nazi. They're going to throw in the, you know, the bigots and the misogynists and all the rest of the keywords that get people crazy over on social media. But the reality is this, the few people that I talk to from Brazil absolutely love the guy. Think that he was doing great things for the country, wanted to look out for number one, meaning themselves, which, you know, we all know, guys, if we don't take care of ourselves first, then we can't take care of other people. But this idea, you know, that comes from, you know, this, whatever you want to call it, the left, the commies, the whatevers, right?
State-run capitalism.
Yeah, state-run capitalism, that's another great one for, you know, all of these, yeah, you know, take care of the rest, and don't worry about anything. But the bottom line is we have to remember, we are cattle to them. They do not care about any people outside of themselves, and will continue to do these things. And it's sad, but, you know, that is the reality we live in. So,
and that's it. And you know, how many times have we said it? You know, and it started in Britain, where they got rid of the farmers and they got rid of the community, and they started to get rid of the family. And it's taken them 200 years to get to where they are now. It's taken them longer than that, you know, depending on how far back you want to go. But really, in the last 200 years, to eliminate the farmer, to eliminate the community, and the family, you know, you have to get rid of, and that's well documented, that in the 18th and 19th century, the big capitalists, the big controllers of the world understood that you had to get rid of a strong family unit. They started some of it with the school. They did some of it with the elimination of the small farmers and turned them into the factory workers that they needed. And, you know, here we are, you know, all our morals, all our values have been flipped upside down, and it's happened generation after generation after generation, so that now what you get out of people is, well, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
This is the way it is. We gotta pay for our roads. We gotta pay for wars. Shut up. And that's why I rarely open my mouth in public, because
that's the biggest thing, you know. I mean, we're dealing with, you know, we're dealing with people that have been beaten down for, you know, their entire lives, and, you know, trying to, you know, live inside this system, especially if you're somebody that is awake and understands really what's going on here and what they've done. It's very difficult. It's a challenge. You know, I struggle with it every day. I know you guys do as well. Because it is challenging, you know, but ultimately we have to look at, you know, how are we going to, you know, take care of ourselves and our family and feed ourselves and our families. And then we have to worry about the rest after, because if we can't do that, then we don't have the strength to do it anyways, you know? So, ultimately, guys, what I kind of wanted to kind of close with on this one is this, guys, remember, you know, Joel and I, we're not siding with any, you know, parties. We're not siding with any government. We're not siding with anything on this. But what I noticed in the past couple of days is this is a pretty major event happening on the world stage, right? As they would say, you know, where you had a president of another country that did not want to take care of the rest of the world before taking care of his own country, being replaced with somebody that is going to toe the line. You know, we see it time and time again. This is what they wind up doing. And it all falls into, you know, this world government that we've seen and had for quite some time, but it's becoming more and more apparent. And we're really getting to that stage where there's kind of one more cataclysmic event, or if you want to call it, or whatever you want to use for that word. There's one big event away from them being able to actually really step in and say, this is the way it's going to be. Could it be the World War III? Could it be like what Tony talks about with this, you know, potential World War III that Pike talked about? Could it be something else? Could it be a major worldwide famine? Could it be a major worldwide die-off of people? Could it be any of a major financial crisis? Could it be a little bit of all of these things? It could be any of these, right? But ultimately, we do want to continue to, on occasion, pay attention to these things because it's important. And when we see a country like Brazil, with over 200 million people there, they are the biggest economy in South America. I said I wasn't sure, but they are. And they are a major exporter of foods to the West. So all these things adding up, it will delay an inevitable food shortage maybe for a little longer. It's hard to say, but it's good to recognize.
Yeah, who knows? And we might not, you know, you don't have to agree with everything Pat and I have said.
All please don't.
Is exploring options. Even Pat and I disagree. Pat believes take care of family and self first and then worry about everybody else. I say go out and help others and then naturally the universe just provides for me. That's my experience. When I don't worry about myself and I eliminate myself immediately and I get out there and I focus on helping others, somehow, some way, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, Jesus, anything you want to call it, something more than me, it just provides for me. And that's cool. We don't sit here and argue about it.
I'm not interested. Well, deep down, I really hate you for that, Joel.
I know you do. It's cool. It's really cool. But you know, that's it, guys. Thank you.
That was actually why I had tryouts for your replacement while
you were gone. You know, the interviews were good, but you ain't replacing me. That's the reality of it. And I can't say that there's too many people that are gonna disagree with me. You know, it's great to be back. It's, you know, I'm a little refreshed. I'm so excited for winter. I hate it more and more every single year, but it is what it is. And, you know, that's all we can do, guys, is we got to do what we got to do for today. Get out there, strengthen that mental, physical, and spiritual, you know, three-sided, take care of everything. And, we'll get through this. Nothing that Pat and I were saying was going to happen 2 years ago has happened. And I think that's just more evidence of, we never really know, you know, right. Pat mentioned, you know, could it be this? Could it be nothing? Could it just be more of the rabbit hole? So with that, guys, don't take Pat's word for it. Definitely do not take my word for it. Do your own research, come to your own conclusions and your own truth. Remember, guys, freedom starts at home and from within. It is.